Well, if that were true of our life, I hope it is. I hope that's your prayer. I hope that's what you are feeling, that you are desperate for him. All through this year, I have been challenging you with that thought that we would be desperate for God. And I have said this, if you are not desperate for him, then you are in a desperate situation. We need him. If we don't have him in the center of our life, what do we have? We have nothing. Everything else in this life is fading away. I had a really blessed experience this last week. I had a friend invite me over to his house to look at his collection of cars and motorcycles. He's got some cars that so many people in this world would just die for. I mean, they're absolutely beautiful. They are collector's cars. There is no telling what kind of price tag he has on each of those cars that are in his garage. And John has a good perspective on these cars. They're just cars. They're just cars. They're nice cars, and he has put a lot of his own time and his effort and his money into restoring those cars to their mint condition. But when it's all said and done, they're just cars. He wanted to show them to me, and then he asked me if I could help him zero in on a scripture to put on his wall to witness to people as they come into his garage to see his cars. It's obvious that as people would walk into his garage, they would ooh and awe over those cars. He wants to remind them that they're just cars. They're just stuff that is one day going to pass away. And really, there's only one thing that matters, and that is Jesus. It's a great opportunity for him to witness, because people will come and they will just absolutely slobber over what they see of those cars and motorcycles. And then he will show them that scripture. And so I went home that evening after I was oohing and aahing, and I began to think of some verses that might be what he's looking for. And the first verse that I came up with was 1 John chapter 2, verse 17 from the New Living Translation. It says, "And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." There's a lot of truth to that verse. The world's fading away. Everything that we crave is fading away. Now, I wasn't sure if that was exactly the message that John was looking for, and so I dug deeper and further into the Word, and I sent him some more verses, just giving him some options. The next verse that I sent to him was Matthew 16:26. "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" There's so many people who buy into the things of this world, but it's all fading away. Just the last couple of days, my wife and I were down to her family's. There was a family wedding that we were attending yesterday, and so we were there from Thursday night to Saturday and enjoying some visiting, and we were outside on Friday, and I was helping my brother-in-law do some painting, and there was an ambulance that we could hear from a distance coming, and we looked up and we saw it. They live about a half mile off the highway. We saw the ambulance go by on the highway, and then we heard the ambulance stop just a little bit down the road. Stopped at a neighbor's house. And Dave says, "Oh my." And sure enough, they got word later the neighbor had died of a heart attack. And this was a fellow that Dave had been witnessing to through the years, trying to help him come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. He had never given in to that relationship. He had never said yes to Jesus. He lives in a beautiful home. I mean, it's beautiful. There's this huge lake on the back side of their home that stretches out. You can see it from the highway. It is a dream home. But the things of this world fade away. They're left behind. The only thing that matters when it's all said and done is our relationship with Jesus. And that's the message that John's wanting to present to people who come into his garage and they see these treasures. He wants to remind them that these treasures are fading away. I sent him another passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. It says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." I wondered if maybe that was a verse or a passage of Scripture that might catch John's attention. All of these treasures, all of these valuable things, they're like garbage, Paul said. The King James says they're like dung. They're like a pile of cow manure compared to knowing Jesus. You take all of the treasures of the world, they do not measure up to the value of knowing Jesus. I sent him one more. I don't know if any of these were really what he was looking for, but I was thinking by the time I got through this exercise that really it was more for me than for John, because I was benefiting. Hopefully he was benefiting too. The last one I sent to him was Psalm 73, verse 25. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you." I'll say it again. If you are not desperate for God, then you are in a desperate situation. Everything this world offers to us pales by comparison next to God the Father and His Son Jesus. There is only one that we should be thirsty and hungry for, and that is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." He is all we need. We should be desperate for Him. I'm finishing this mini-series today, which I have entitled Desperate to Be, and we've filled in the blank over the last few weeks. We've talked about being desperate to be His child, desperate to be His light, desperate to be His servant, desperate to be His disciple. I want to give you a heads up as to the next series that we're going to start next Sunday. It's entitled Desperate for His Kingdom to Come. I'll be talking about the fact that we are in the last days and we should be anticipating His coming kingdom. And so I hope you'll be here over the month of December. That will be our focus. Today, my challenge to you from God's Word is that we should be desperate to be faithful. Could I give you some reasons why we should be desperate to be faithful? First of all, He has been faithful to us. And Ethan emphasized it during the communion time that we are about to celebrate Thanksgiving, and that holiday reminds us how faithful God has been to us. He has been good to us. He is the good giver of every good and perfect gift. for a moment, I'd like for us to gather just to celebrate his goodness. What has God blessed you with that you can say thank you to him for? And I'd like to hear you loud and clear, just from your seat, one word, two words, maybe a sentence at the most, what you are thankful for. And I'll repeat it just for the benefit of those who might be listening to the radio next week, or for those who are online, Facebook, watching the message. What are you thankful for? I heard family. Grace, yes, God's grace to us. What else? Our health, yes. All of us, just the family of believers, okay? Love, yes. What else? Hope. Say again. Our friends, yes. Healthy babies. That's a blessing. Yes, Terry. His faithfulness.
For my wife's healing.
Yes, Cliff's wife's healing. She had surgery this week, an aorta artery, or aorta valve replaced, and it went well. Thank God for that. Forgiveness? Music. Yes, for music. Yeah. Salvation. I'm thankful that one of these days when I get to heaven, I'll get good hearing. Well, it's going to be wonderful. It's been a long time since I've had good hearing and good eyesight. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to throw these glasses off. I'm going to have good hearing. I won't be saying, God's good, isn't he? He is so faithful to us. He has poured his blessings upon us. Now, obviously, here in 2020, there's a lot that we could focus on that has been difficult. Yeah, it's definitely been a year to remember, or maybe we should say it's been a year that we should forget. But even still, God has been faithful to us. He has been good. Amidst the coronavirus junk, he has been good. He's got us through to this point. And there's no reason to think that he's not going to get us completely through this. Yes, there have been some obstacles along the way. And some of you, even sitting here today, you have experienced some big obstacles that have been hard for you. We have several in our church family that have been experiencing health issues, major health issues. But we have reason to believe that God is going to get us through. And we know that he never leaves us. And he can take that which is bad and he can work good from it. He is faithful, and we should praise him for his faithfulness to us. He is faithful to us personally. He has never failed us. He has never abandoned us. He has never forgotten us. He has never lied to us. He has never not heard us when we have cried out to him. In fact, he knows what we need before we even ask. He is a good, good God. And sometimes we are not faithful to him. Isn't that right? But he is always faithful to us. Paul says that very thing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, Paul says. Thank God for his faithfulness. It's easy when we're going through hard times to lose sight of his faithfulness. I got a nickel here in my fingers, and if I bring that right up here to my eye, it's hard with this right eye for me to see out here, because all I can see is the nickel. It's blocking my vision. And sometimes those obstacles that are facing us, those hardships that we're going through, they're like this nickel. They're right here, and this is all we can see. And what we need to do is, if we can, just step back a little bit from this hardship, from this nickel, and then we can see a lot clearer. We can see God's faithfulness, even amidst the hardships. But Satan, he's right there to tell us that we can't possibly navigate our way through those hardships. He's telling us that God has deserted us. But God has not deserted us. He's right where he has always been. He's leading us. He's carrying us if we'll let him. And he will be faithful. He'll get us through. What we need to do is keep our eyes on him. Let me read to you from Kyle Eidelman's book as he talks about perspective, keeping our perspective. He says, did you ever hear the story of American swimmer Florence Chadwick? She became the first woman to swim the English Channel both ways. She also attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the coastline of California. What made her failed attempt so newsworthy was the reason she didn't make it. It wasn't the cold water or muscle cramps. It wasn't sharks or a school of jellyfish. It wasn't even the physical exhaustion of a 16-hour swim. The reason she quit was fog. When the fog rolled in, she wasn't able to see the coastline and had to quit. When she climbed into the boat, she was informed that she was less than 1 mile from the shore. If only she'd known how close she was, she could have persevered. Instead, she lost perspective and gave up. There are times in life when the fog rolls in and we lose sight of the shore. Someone you trusted takes advantage of you. Someone you love stops loving you in return. A good plan goes off the rails. Unexpected physical or financial hardships come fast and hard. When the fog is thick, it's easy to lose perspective. He goes on to write this. 2 months later, after her first try, Florence Chadwick made another attempt. Again, the fog was quite heavy. Again, she couldn't see the coastline, but this time she finished the swim. She said that this time, when the fog rolled in, she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind and focused on that. She kept perspective and refused to give up. We've got to keep our focus on him, on the finish line, which is heaven. And if we will do that, we can make it through the hardest of times. No matter what that hardship is, if we can keep our eyes on him, knowing that he is there, he's carrying us, he's helping us, he is there to lead us. He's not going to forsake us, ever. And you know, as I've said before, when we're going through these kinds of hardships and we're holding on to him, that's when our light is shining the very brightest. We are desperate to be faithful to him because he has been faithful to us. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Okay. Let me give you a second point. We are desperate to be faithful because he has a reward for the faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." He calls us to be faithful until the very end, until we take our last breath. And if we will do that, then heaven will be ours. And that's motivation enough for us to be faithful to Him. Heaven will make everything pale in comparison here. The hardships, we'll forget about them once we get to heaven. It will be worth the cost. We just need to be faithful to Him. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us." Think about that. Whatever it is you're going through here, these present sufferings, Paul said, they will not even begin to compare to the glory that will be revealed to us. Praise God for that promise to us. No matter how hard things get here, the glory there is going to surpass the hardship here, and we will forget all about what we've gone through here. We just need to remain faithful. And we do that by His help. I'm not talking about we need to be perfect. There's none of us that can be perfect. But we just hold on to Him. We keep our eyes on Him. And we rest in His grace that is greater than our disgrace. Let me give it to you a third point. As we're talking about being faithful, desperate to be faithful. And the third point is this: I'd rather be faithful to Him than to shipwreck. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffer shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme." We looked at that scripture a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, and someone said, "Just think about the fact that from that day forward, for the rest of time, those two fellows' names are out there as men who shipwrecked in their faith." Wow. Now that's something to think about. From the moment that Paul wrote these words to Timothy, those two guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, their names will, from that point to forever, be remembered as two who suffered shipwreck in their faith. I don't want to be known for that. I don't want to be remembered for having suffered shipwreck in my faith. I don't want to be a part of that kind of a list. I want to be remembered as one who stayed faithful to my very last breath. As I was writing this sermon, I thought of Lawrence Greer, who sat right there for how many years? And he stayed faithful till his very last breath. And that's the kind of man I want to be. I want to be a man of God who stayed faithful, and for people to be inspired, just as so many of us have been inspired by Lawrence Greer, that we could be that person for somebody else, that we have stayed faithful to God all the days of our life. And that's what I want to challenge you with. As we talk about desperate to be faithful, I just want to end well. I want to be the example and the inspiration to someone else that Lawrence has been to us here for so many years. Will you be faithful to him? Will you hold on to him? I pray so. Let's pray together. God, help us to be desperate to be faithful to you. We need you. All this stuff in the world that we chase after, it's fading away. Help us to realize that. Doesn't mean all that stuff's wrong or bad. It's just, it's not priority. It's not where our heart should be. And so, God, help us to have you as the center of our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please. Let's sing.